Good morning, everyone. Everybody survived the storms last night? Yeah, good. It kept me awake for the rest of the night. I never went back to sleep. So I see a lot of new faces here lately, and in case you don't know who I am, my name's Charlie Alcorn. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ and a member of this church. And today I'll be God's messenger. What I want to bring to you today is something that I didn't learn from any big theological anything other than if Josh, you got the video for me, I will show you how I memorized this verse today. Maybe. That's it. No, that ain't it. I got a backup plan if this don't work, so. You know what our scripture is today, though. And while we're doing that, Donna also forgot to mention that we have the offering table at the back. If you want to stop there on your way out, if you haven't stopped on the way in, that's it. Gosh. Okay. Maybe. If not, where it's going to go on. I wanted this song to get stuck in your head today.
Of the spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit's not a banana. The fruit of the spirit's not a banana. You want to be a banana, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a watermelon.
Now we
the fruit
stopped.
Of the spirit is not a watermelon.
I'm never doing that again. But there we are. That's what I want to speak about today. Just like a tree, we see a nice apple tree, and from a distance, it may even have nice red pretty apples on it. But then maybe as you get up closer, you see wormholes. You see rotten spots. And that's the way it is, should be with our Christian life as a tree. These are the fruits that our spirit should be producing. And it comes from Galatians 5:22, as it had up there. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." And that's the one we're going to stop at today. I know there's nine of them all together. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. All those, I probably didn't get them in order there. But the one I want us to really look at is love. This love they're talking about here, it's not a deep affection for something, and it's not a great interest or pleasure in anything. This love that they're talking about here is an unconditional love. It's the highest form of love. It's agape love is what it is. It's agape love. And agape love is love God for man, God's love for man, and man's love for God. And the way kind of the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this is if we look at this as a big circle, and you might be seeing me do that a lot today, it's a big circle, and it's, like I said, God's love for man and man's love for God. And that completes a whole circle. So that's where we get the peace, patience, and all those fruits of the Spirit, as if we have this agape love. So today I want to bring you a few different examples of that love that we can talk about. The first one maybe is about myself and my situation with love. And a month ago, the pastor said, told me that I would be speaking today. As I went home to tell my wife, she was like, "Oh, darn, I'm going to be gone in Illinois that week." So that's when I heard it. I said, "It would be a good time to talk about your wife." I said, uh-oh. So I just acted like I didn't even hear it. Just kind of ignored it. And it didn't take me very long to realize that I was ignoring the Holy Spirit. And I wondered, how many times have I done that and just blowed it off? And that scared me. So then I come to realize that, yeah, I did hear it. But then I spent about 2 weeks trying to convince the Holy Spirit that it wasn't really a good idea. Bad idea. Not good. Because what I knew when the Holy Spirit said that to me, it wasn't that I was going to stand up here and tell you some story about my wife. That it was talking about me. And the examples of love that I had in my life. So, here I'm up here again, telling you things about my past that I really don't want you to know. But I have to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, and I think it's going to bring it in to where I'm going. So, to go where I want to go, I have to step back a little farther in my past, again with my first wife. Married her as a teenager, got her pregnant at 16. We married. I went to the Army. When I was overseas, she was pregnant and had a child. What I didn't realize for a long time, because of the way I was raised, that men didn't show feelings. Suck it up, buttercup. But so I took that hurt. What I didn't realize was it hurt me. And I stuffed that hurt way down in deep. In those places where we don't have to think about them. We don't have to deal with them. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And I did pretty good with that. And I met my wife. Even though I had a problem, before I was even old enough to drink, I was already an alcoholic. And I was heavily into drugs. But when I met my beautiful wife that I have now, I continued on with those problems of drinking and drugs. And I do pretty good at keeping those feelings down until I got uncontrollably drunk. Until I got uncontrollably drugged out. And then those feelings, that I tucked down, that I tried to hide, they would come out. And it would come out as hate. Resentment. And that's what, if we don't deal with our emotions with God, this will happen. So then, in my drunkenness, I would become violent. Rages of violence. All kinds of crazy things would come out of me. And I didn't know how to deal with that. And neither did my wife until finally the day she came. And she said she had enough. The big guy that I am said, if you don't like it, you can leave. And something that's still amazing me today, she did. You believe that? She did. So then I continued on with my madness until they caught up with me. Kentucky asked me to have an extended stay with them with the Department of Corrections. But you know what? I always call prison the house of Satan. But I found God there. And I seen that He had this love for me that we're talking about here. When I was unlovable, Jesus Christ loved me. He cared for me. And that's when I found my love for Him. And as I got out, I was able to show that agape love to my wife. And she became a Christian. And now, beautiful woman in the Lord. She loves Jesus. Not just on Sunday, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. She's a Jesus freak. And I love her. And she's really a powerful woman because when she prays, she believes. And in the Bible, in James, it says when believing people pray, powerful things happen. That's why the lesson we had from the district's office, we have to pray. That's our power. So then I realized after I became a Christian and I learned about this love through 1 John 4:8. It says, whoever not knows love does not know God, because God is love. Period. He is love. The total definition. So like I said, I was able then to love my wife. I was able to love others just because God pulled me out of a nasty mess. And He made it new. My wife and I got back together. And when God restores something, He doesn't just put a Band-Aid on it. He doesn't just patch it up. He made it new. And He made it beautiful. And that's the way it should be in our lives. But we have to have this agape love. So, then like I said, once I realized all this, I found out that it was up to me to produce love through God. That big circle. It was up to me to put love in action. And there again is where I come back to the Bible. I had my scripture ready just in case this didn't all work. So if I come to my Bible to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It's love in action. Love must be sincere. hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never lacking in zeal. They didn't have them up there. I think there's a couple more. There they are. But keep your spiritual fever. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. And faithful in prayer. That's our ticket. That's our power. That's our everything. Like I say, it was very, very hard for me to get a hold of this, but once that I did, I seen so much change in my life. I keep getting shorter. This thing keeps shaking down. But after I learned how to put that love in action, things started changing. Things really started changing for me. And I want to go on to a little another example I want to bring to you. That I really had battles on where to tiptoe around here on this. But as we look at, say, the first church to me was Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles. So one of the apostles that I want us to look at today is maybe not one of the most favorites. It was the apostle Judas. And we all know what he did. But I often think about what he looked like, who he hung around with, the things that he did. We all know he was a treasurer, and so his involvement was money. But one of the most important things that we do know about Judas is he had no relationship with the Master. He had heard Jesus, but he didn't understand. He saw Jesus even do miracles, but he was on a different plan. He was on a different motive. So he separated himself and sold out our Savior. One thing we can see from that is a timeless lesson that we're always going to see. That if the church is going to die, it's going to die from within. Satan knew who to pick. He went around the table at the Last Supper. And he looked for that one. That one that had religion, but he had no relationship with the Father. So we know, even to today, government's not going to destroy the church. It didn't then, and it's not now. Hollywood's not going to destroy the church. It'll be destroyed within. And I know I've talked about this, but it's still a big problem. That's division in the church. A church divided will fall. We get divided. It's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit. It's an evil spirit. It's the spirit of division. We see it everywhere. Young, old, sick, healthy, for all the different reasons. We want to separate ourselves. Because that's what Satan wants. God wants us together. He wants us in unity. So today, I'll kind of finish up here. I got a little time, but here we go. Where I want to finish this up at, I'm going to be real quick with you, is the 17th chapter of John. And why I love the 17th chapter of John and why I feel it's so important for us, it was Jesus' prayer for us. When he should have been worrying about himself, because this is right before he was arrested. When he should have been worrying about his own skin. In chapter 17, he shows a love for us. Yeah, go to one. And I'm not going to read you the whole chapter. I wish you would, but I'm not going to read it to you this morning. I'm just going to highlight a few things for you. It starts out in verse 1. It says, Jesus said this. He looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Jesus is praying. He wants to be glorified. And I see that as a legitimate prayer for him. As I bounce down in verse 6 of chapter 17, Jesus prays for his disciples, the leaders of the church. And in 10, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And here, his prayer got answered. And glory has come to me through them, through us. Jesus Christ is glorified through us. Are you glorifying the Lord? If I look at that even myself, I fail a lot of times. But God knows that. And like he still loves me with that love that he wants me to show to everyone else. And we can't do that divided. Verse 13. I have come to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that you may have a full measure of joy within them. That's one of those fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Joy. They're all in that circle. And if we decide to we don't want to love someone unconditionally, that breaks a hole in that circle. And the longer you leave that circle open, I believe things start falling out. There goes your love. There goes your joy. And on until we close that circle up. It's up to us. It's our choice. We can be here as a problem, or we can come to be a solution to the problem. It's up to every one of us. But I want to read to you, hear what Jesus prays for all the believers. For everyone that believes in Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ's prayer for you today. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. He He was talking about where he prayed for the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you... Okay, I'll change it now. Okay. That might mess me up. All right. Okay, that all of you may be one. Father, just as you are one in me, I am one in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The world will know if you have those fruit of the Spirit active in your life. The world will know. What am I? 21? I'm going to go back to 21. No, there we go. The end of 21. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. And here it goes. I am in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. That's what Jesus Christ wants for us. Unity. To love as He loves. Not only to love thy neighbor as thyself, but to love as Jesus loved you. He died for you. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is Jesus and His Heavenly Father wanting us in them. Them and us, and us and them. That love. Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. We all know that. We believe that. That God sent His one and only Son to love an unloving world. A dying world. I have made you know them and will continue to make you know in order that the love you have for me may be given to them and that I myself may be in them. If the worship team will come up, please. We'll try to finish this up. How many of you out there don't have to answer, want to be a part of this church? This is your church. If we want to be completely unified, we have to drop some of the negative thoughts that we have. We have to want to be a part as we love each other, as we love the world out there, is more importantly. As we be an example, as a light to the world we have out there. It takes us all. We all have to do our part. It's up to us to activate the love that God has gave us. You can keep it tucked in and not show it to anybody. Or you can refuse to love somebody because they look different. Because they talk different. They don't really fit in my clique. Those are the ones that we throw out. But Jesus loves them too. Absolutely right. And if we don't do this, then again I'll say we've broke that circle of love in our life. Don't let your joy fall out. Don't let your peace fall out. Let's close that circle today. You can play. Let's close that circle today. I know a lot of you don't necessarily like to come down to the altar, but I wanted to call the church today to pray for this church and all churches in the United States, because we're getting ready to become under attack, as we already are, really. But if you don't want to come up front, grab your neighbor's hand. Let's pray. Oh, sorry. I got his book. He can't do nothing. Oh. I'll move out of his way.